Krisus, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet, 2-4. This Mishnah has a number of parts, really a number of different topics, and in the Bavli it's broken up into multiple Mishnayos. The first is to wrap up what we started in the previous Mishnah. Previous Mishnah had said, Chamisha Mevi'in Korban Echad Al Averos Harbe. There are five scenarios in which if a person had multiple instances of doing something which would be Mechayev a Korban, it's possible that they're all lumped together and a single korban is brought for all those instances. Now, in the previous Mishnah, in Gimel, they're referred to as averos. Averos are sins, of course. Here, the Mishnah is going to talk about the fifth of the five, and it's certainly not an avera. It's a isha sheyalda v'glados harbe, a woman who gave birth multiple times, meaning the first would be a birth or a miscarriage, and then subsequent miscarriages. They're all going to be happening within that 80-day window, as we'll explain in a second. I'll explain more in a second what I mean by that. So the idea here is that when a woman gives birth, a yoledes, we said that after her melos, her 40 days for a boy birth or 80 days for a female birth, and then she brings on the 81st or 41st day a set of korbanos. Now, the point of the Mishnah is that if in the middle of her 80 days after giving birth or miscarrying a girl, she has a second vlad that's born to her, so then, even though that vlad in and of itself would be mechayev her to bring a korban, but since it's part of her malos, part of those days, so then she only brings at the end of the whole process, meaning 80 days from that second miscarriage, if it's a girl, or suffix girl, then she'll bring one set of korbanos, both for the miscarriage as well as for the original birth or miscarriage. So you have two episodes, right? But she only brings one set of korbanos for both of them. And the point of our mission here is that since if we're talking about a woman who is birthing or miscarrying girls, females, so then every time that she has a new leida, so then there's like another 80 days are opened up. So it can extend like daisy chain one into the next, meaning like say every 60 days she has another miscarriage. So then, and she has five in a row. So on, you know, she has day 60 and day 120 and day 180 and so on. Each one is within the 80 days of the previous, so it just keeps on extending this malos period such that when eventually she finishes having miscarriages on the 81st day, assuming that they were girls or suffix girls, then she'll bring one set of korbanos for the whole period. That's what the Mishnah has to say here. Inside it says, Hipila besoch shmonim nekeva, if within the 80 days of giving birth to her first, the first viable girl, let's say, or a miscarriage of a girl for that matter, if within those 80 days she miscarries another girl, female. So now, like I said before, that now starts another 80-day window. And the chazer v'hepila besoch shmonim nekeva. And similarly, if she does it again, or even again and again and again, so then all those miscarriages within each 80 days of the previous, if we're talking about girls or suffix girls, it's going to extend it out, and then she'll bring one set of korbanos at the end. So that's the example. The fifth example of where you bring one set of korbanos for multiple episodes, each of which on their own would be mechayev a korban. Also, v'mapelis te'umim. Same goes for a woman who gives birth or miscarries twins. So just the simple case would be, simplest case would be, a woman who gives birth to twins, she brings one set of korbanos for the both of them. But the idea is the same kind of idea we said before, which is that second child, which is born, whether it's a minute or a day later, is within the, you know, 40 or 80 days of the first birth. Of course, in that scenario, the first birth could have been a boy because you have 40 days. But in the other scenarios where we're talking about miscarriages, it has to be girls because, like I explained previously, you need to have 40 days of gestation before your chayiv, 40 full days, testing miscarriage on the 41st day or later, to be mechayiv another set of korbanos, and that's not possible. Boys only have a 40-day malos in the first place. Malos, again, being the period of dam tohor. So that's the Tana Kama Shita. Now, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, when you have, let's say, a woman gives birth to a girl, so now she has an 80-day window, from days 15, the first 14 days are dam tami, the next 15 to 80 are her yimei tohar, and that 80-day period, that malos, that period, you know, just kind of the same way, if she bleeds in that 80-day window, that's not considered to be, it's not considered anything, not considered nida, it's just considered to be, I don't know, trauma blood perhaps, whatever, just gzeiras hakasav. So two says, and it doesn't count as like a, doesn't have any impact on her like need the cycle or counting the days, that kind of thing. So too, says Rabbi Yehuda, a woman who miscarries within those 80 days doesn't have any, it doesn't count as a leida. It's just, it's like part of the malos, that 80-day window, doesn't do anything. Okay? Which would mean that let's say a woman, you know, gives birth and then every 60 days after that, she's having another miscarriage. What will happen is, so She gives birth. That's you know, Vlad 1. Then 6 days later, she miscarries. So that's Vlad 2. And okay, that will be, she doesn't bring a Corbin for that, of course. But when she, 6 days later, and miscarries again, Vlad 3. So Vlad 3 now is coming 120 days after the first birth. So it's not in the Melos anymore. So that starts a new window of 80 days. So now, in other words, what's going to happen is they for the first and second miscarriage, she'll bring one set of korbanos. But for the third miscarriage, she'll bring a new set of korbanos because it's like not, it's not part of the Melos. The Melos ended after 80 days from the first one. And then again, if she 80 days later, 6 days later, let's say from number three, she has a fourth miscarriage. Again, that'll be part of the Melos of number three. So again, she wouldn't bring, she'll bring one set of korbanos for both three and four. But then hypothetically, if she, you know, miscarried 6 days after that, she's going to have to bring another set of korbanos for baby number five. That's the idea. The idea is that since the birth within the Melos doesn't count for anything, if you have a second miscarriage after 81 days from the first, so then it's like starting a whole new, and that whole new period will require another set of korbanos. And that's what Rabbi Huda says. Rabbi Huda Omer, Mevia al harishon veina mevia al hasheni. It's true. If she, let's say she's miscarrying every 60 days, for the first, she would bring her korbanos. The second one doesn't need korbanos. But then, mevia al harishlishi, she'll have to bring again a set of korbanos for the third. Veina mevia al haravi, but she won't need to bring on the fourth. Okay. The halacha does not follow Rabbi Huda. Halacha follows Tanakama. So that means, in theory, if she's miscarrying, you know, every 60 days, then whatever that finally ends, she can finally become Torah and bring one set of korbanos for the entire episode. Okay, that's part one of the Mishnah. We wrapped up that first topic that we introduced in the previous Mishnah, Mishnah Gimel. Now, the second thing that Mishnah Gimel introduced were the Chamisha Mevin Korban Olav Yored. There are five scenarios for which the required korbanos are variable. Ola v'yored again means ola goes up, yored means go down. So literally means that go up and down. But the idea is that the amount of money required to spend on the set of korbanos is variable. It depends on whether the person who has to bring the korbanos has the money to do so. So there are five scenarios where we sort of inquire if the person can afford it. And if they can't afford it, we'll afford them like a cheaper option, if you will. Okay? Now, the first three of these five are found in Vayikra Perek Hey, okay, and they are the classic chatas olav yored. That means it's a, they bring a chatas olav yored means that if they can afford it, they bring a regular chatas, a female goat, sheep, and if they can't afford it, they'll bring a pair of birds, either two bnei yona, two baby pigeons, or two tor, two turtle doves, that's the translation, and there's no, you can't mix and match one of each. If they can't even afford the two birds, one is a ola, one is a chatas, so then the person will bring just a minchas chota, essentially just one iseron of flour, just wheat flour, that's it. Okay, no lavona, no oil, and that's that. So we're going to have five variable scenarios where we have variable offerings, but only three of them are like the chatas ola v'yora, those first three that I mentioned in Vayikra Hey. So here those are. So this is the mission side. Elu mevi'in korban olav yored. The following five scenarios require a variable offering. The first is al shmias hakol. Literally, it means on hearing the voice. But this is what we would call a shvuas ha'edus. Remember, the scenario there is where Reuven has a court case. He now asks his friends Shimon and Levi to testify on his behalf. Shimon and Levi swear they don't. They say they can't testify. They don't know the facts. They can't help him, and they swear to that effect, even though it's not true. And later on, they fess up, they want to do tshuva. So now, since if they could have helped Reuven but didn't, so now they must, amongst other things, bring this special olav yored, this variable chatas, like I described before. So now, although the like rabbinic, you know, the Gemara, Chazal, talk about a shvuas ha'edus, the oath regarding testimony, which makes sense. It's here mentioned the pasuk as shmias hakol. That's a reference to the pasuk itself, because the pasuk there in Vayikra Hey says v'nefesh kitechata, when a person sins v'shama kol Allah, okay, which means essentially, and he hears the voice of, and this referring to the adjuration of the Reuven who wanted them to testify on his behalf, and he sort of is very okay. So the idea is that v'shama kol of the pasuk is the shmias kol of our Mishnah. The second of the five instances, and the three that he brings up, the Chatas Olav Yared, is Va'al Bitwis Fasayim, literally an utterance of the lips. But this is referring to what we typically refer to as the Shvuas Bitui. So that means a person swears that either he will or will not do something, or that something did or didn't happen, and any of those four options. If it turns out what he says is not true, even if, you know, so that means even if he, of course, if he said, I didn't steal a cookie from the cookie jar, but he did, then that's this. But also if he says, I swear I will not eat a cookie today, and then he forgets, he's a shogeg, or whatever the case is, it doesn't make a difference. If he ends up eating the cookie, so then, boom, his shvu was false. So any of those scenarios, if he commits about he will or will not do something, or if something did or didn't happen, and his shvu turned out to be false, so then that's a shvuas bitui, and he has to, for swearing falsely, he must bring this variable chatas olav yored. It's called bitus asayim, because again, the pasuk says, o nefesh ki sishava livatei bisfasayim, to utter with his lips, lahara lahitiv, to do something or not do something. So the point is that it's this mishnah is referring to the pasuk. And the third on the list, which is the third of the three chatas olav yored, and the third of the five on our list here of variable offerings in general, is va'al tumas mikdash ukadashav. A person who is tamei himself, his person is he's tamei, and he either enters the temple precinct where he can't go, that's the mikdash, or kadashav, he eats kadshim that he's not supposed to eat. Whether he's a Kohen eating a mincha, whether he's a Yisrael eating the Korban Pesach, whatever the story is. If a person does that avera, so then, again, if he does it b'mezid, he's chayav chatas, he's karas, I should say, he's chayav karas. If he does it b'shogeg, then he's chayav the chatas olav yored, the veril chatas. Now, these are typically or often lumped together, tumas mikdash v'kadashav, but sometimes they are not lumped together because, in fact, they're two separate of the Taryag mitzvahs. And if you remember from the first mishnah of the Masechta, when we counted the 36 krisos, they were separated out. They were counted two separate krisoses. And for that reason, the Rambam brings the halacha that there are not five, but six scenarios for which one brings a variable offering, because instead of counting this as three so far, he counts the Tumas Mikdash Yogadashav as number three and four. Okay? Now the last two are a little different, the Yoledes and the Metzora. They're different because while, yes, the Yoledes and Metzora are afforded the opportunity to bring like a variable offering, essentially replacing one or two sheep with birds. However, it's not the Chatas Olav Yored, meaning, just for example, that if the three levels of the Chatas Olav Yored are typically if a person's Ashir, they can afford it, they bring the female sheep. If they're Dal, they're poor, then they bring the pair of birds. If they are Dal, they're really, really poor, so then they would bring the flower offering. There's only two levels with these last two. So there's no dali dalos. There's no such person as a person who's like super duper poor, that he gets less than having to bring the birds in the case of the Yoledes and Metzora. So what are the cases here? So Yoledes, woman who gives birth, or for that matter has a miscarriage of a vlad. So like we said, she brings a pair of offerings. If she has the money, she brings an ola in the form of a keves, a sheep, and she brings a chatas in the form of a bird, either a tor or a benyona. Okay, so that's an unusual case where a bird chatas is coming without a ola sa'of, a bird ola as well. It's unusual. But anyways, if she can afford it, it's a male sheep as an ola, and a female, excuse me, and a bird as the chatas. Now, if she can't afford the sheep, then she brings a pair of birds. Now, again, the pair of birds, the usual kind of pair of birds, one's a ola, one's a chatas, either two b'neyona or two tor. There's no level of flower, like I said before. And the mitzora. So the mitzora, at the end of their process, at the very end, they bring three korbanos. If they have the money, so then they're going to bring an asham. Ashamos are always male, so it'll be a male sheep. And an ola. An ola is always a male, so it'll be another male sheep. And a chatas. A chatas is always female for a private person, so therefore it'll be a female sheep. Okay, so three different sheep, two males and a female. Asham, chatas, and ola, if the mitzora can afford it. If they can't afford it, they bring just the asham as a sheep, the male sheep, because That's like the asham for the Metzorah, is like sort of the primary carbon. And then instead of bringing two more sheep as an ola and a chatas, they'll bring a pair of birds as an ola chatas, two bnei yonah or two tor. Okay, so again, that's it. It's variable based on what they can afford. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the second part of the Mishnah, if you will, and what we introduce up to now. In the Bavli, it's now a new break in a new Mishnah, but our Mishnah continues on here with a new topic here. Now we're lapsing to we're transitioning to back to an idea we introduced before, which is the Shifcha Harufa. Okay? So, the Shifcha Harufa, which we actually in the next Mishnah will explain exactly what she is. The short of it is we're talking about a woman who is half free and half slave, meaning she was like a Shifcha Kananis, a slave girl. She was half freed, and she's married, but only half of her is married, so to speak, to an Eved Ivri. Okay, so she's like half married girl. So the halachas that apply to essentially adultery with the half married girl, we'll call it, are different than the other arias to the generic arias, whether all the forbidden relationships that the Torah prohibits. So ma bein hashifcha la bein kol harayos, we're not going to say some of the differences, and we'll actually say more differences in the next mishnah as well. First of all, shlo shavsa lahen lo va'onesh v'lo b'korban. He and she don't have the same halachas regarding the punishment and the offering. What does that mean? When it comes to other arayos, if they're, you know, there's a male and a female, so then they get the same punishment. If they're both shogig, they both each brings a chatas. If they're both mezid, then each one is subject to whatever it is, karas, or whatever the punishment will be. It's different when it comes to the shifcha harufa. There, it's only the only possible punishment, if you will, for the girl, the woman, is malchus, lashes. And if she's subject to lashes, then he's going to be subject to bring the korban, the asham. So you see, it's like different. He's bringing an asham and she's getting lashes, which is very unusual. Usually, they both do the same. Second of all, shekol ha'arayos b'chatas v'shifcha ba'asham. As far as the korban that he brings, so it's different. For arayos in general, though, if a person does it, b'shogeg, then he brings a chatas. When it comes to the shifcha harufa, there's no chatas. Instead, there's this asham shifcha harufa. There's an asham offering. And also, the Mishnah points out, kol harayos b'nekeva, it's always a female chatas when it comes to other forbidden relationships. However, the shifcha b'zachar, when it comes to the gender of the offering of the asham shifcha harufa, it's going to be a male, not a female animal, which is unusual. It's just different. It's not that unusual, just to speak out, because the chatas is essentially always female for people, and the asham is always male, so it's kind of a package deal. In any case, more of says Mishnah, kol harayos echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha shavim b'makas u'b'korban. So usually the he and she both get the same punishment, but in this case is different. Like I said before, she's only eligible for malchus, he's only eligible for korban, the asham, and I should speak out again, he only gets the obligation to bring the korban, whether he acted shogeg or mezid. If she's subject to malchus, I mean she has to have acted the mezid. If she acted b'shogeg, then she won't be subject to malchus, and he won't be subject to the asham. Of shivcha lo hishva esa ish la isha b'makos v'lo esa isha la ish b'korban. Now, in contrast, like we said, there's a difference. I should have lumped that. I shouldn't have broken that up where I broke it up. But the point is, the shifcha, there's a difference between her and his punishment, whereas other korbanos, other arayos, there isn't. I repeat it. I'm sorry. Kol arayos asa bahen esa ma'ara kagomer v'chayav al kol bio bia. And now, two other differences. When it comes to the other forbidden union, so just the first second already makes it already for the line has been crossed, and they're subject to the punishment, whatever it is. That's true for the incest and the adultery and that kind of thing. With shifcha harufa, you have to do the complete act, otherwise it doesn't trigger the obligations. Second of all, if a person has an ongoing affair, let's say, with a woman, so then, like a married woman, so then for each and every time they get together, so then he has to, let's say, assuming the shogeg each time with a lap of helam, however it works, then he'd be subject to multiple shkagos. Whereas if the affair is with shifcha harufa, and somehow or other they're b'shogeg, let's say, or maize, it makes a difference, and it doesn't make a difference if it's a lapse or a lapse, whatever it is, even if it be an analogous case where you have let's say, multiple instances with the lapse of awareness between them, it doesn't matter. When it comes to Shivcha Rufa, if you're bringing a carbon, you're bringing one Asham Shivcha Rufa for all the episodes, however it would shake out. So that's another difference. And finally, Zechomer Shehechmir B'Shivcha Sha'asaba Es Hamezid Keshogig. The final difference is, and the Mishnah describes this as a chumrah that applies to the Shivcha Rufa, which is a person who even sleeps with a Shivcha Rufa B'Shogig, so then even if he does it b'mezid, he still has to bring a korban. Usually when it comes to arayos, so then there's no korban obligation if you acted intentionally. But when it comes to Shivcha Rufa, there is, even if you acted intentionally. Now, on the last point, you might think, wait a second, is that really a chumrah? It kind of sounds like a kulin, as much as the korban gives you a way to atone for yourself, which we don't give the opportunity, we don't afford, we don't give the opportunity or luxury of a korban for someone who acted intentionally. He's like worse. So here, it sounds like it's a kula. We let him bring a korban. But it is a chumrah as much as if a person, did any of the other arayos and he wants to tshuva, so tshuva will be effective. And that's what he needs to do. Whereas when it comes to the Shivcha Rufa, even if he does all the tshuva in the world, he can't get full atonement until he brings a korban. That could be a real problem. Obviously, if he can't bring a korban, he can't bring a korban, so he can't get full atonement. That is, of course, in that sense, it's a stricter, it's a chumrah, it's a bigger stricture.